begin the current daf, Masechet Chagiga daf Gimel. We begin four lines down the top of the Amud. But the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. And that we had opened up this parak, this Masechet with the Mishnah. Everyone's obligated in Re'ia, except for a few individuals. First one we mentioned was Cheresh. So what does Cheresh mean? Generally, when you have Cheresh similar to Shaita B'Katan, it means someone who is a deaf mute, can't hear, can't speak, because he's considered someone who has no das, has no level of consciousness necessary to be Chayav Mitzvah, like a Shaita and a Katan. Problem is, we had a Braisa that said clearly that if he can't hear or only can't speak, one of those two individuals, that then he's going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. That seems to contradict the halacha by Mishnah. So that the Gemara answered and said, actually, there's words missing from a Mishnah, and there's actually two halachas we're talking about Re'iyah and talking about Simcha. For Re'iyah, like the Braisa said, the Cheresh that we mean, Cheresh in the Mishnah is actually two halachas. It's actually if he only just could not hear or only even just not speak, then he's going to be exempt. But we're going to mitzvah of Simcha, that he's only going to be exempt if he's deaf-mute, like all deaf-mutes are exempt from all mitzvahs, including that of a simcha. To which the Gemara asks, Maishna le'in re'iyah the betiri, why is there any difference between these two halachas regarding the oilis re'iyah? That he's going to be exempt no matter what type of cheresh he is, even if he could speak but he can't hear, or he could hear but he cannot speak. Maishna le'in simcha le'machayvi. But why regarding the mitzvah of rejoicing with the meat of the shlamim, there you're telling me that, no, until he's deaf-mute, both of them, he is going to be chayv. What's the difference in those two halachas? Says the Gemara, because le'in re'iyah, regarding the mitzvah of appearing in the Azara with his oilo, gama re'iyah re'iyah mahakal. There, the idea of appearing, we find that that word in the mitzvah of the Shalosh Regalim, and we find that also from the halacha of hakel. Hakel is the parsha that the king would read Mishneh Torah, the Sefer Devarim in the courtyard, every year by Sukkot after the Shemitah year, every eighth year, as it says in Devarim, Laman Alf, Miket Sheva Shem, at the end of 7 years, in the Mayid of Sukkot, after the Shnas Shemitah. Now, the Chassid says within Devarim, Hakel Sa'am, gather the people, Ha'anoshim, the men, Va'anoshim, the women, Va'ataf, and the children. Now, Chassid says before that, Bevoi Kol Yisrael Le'Ba'is, when all the Jewish people come to have themselves be seen. So it says over there, Re'iyah, and it says Re'iyah over here by the mitzvah of Shalosh Regalim, just like over there, Le'Ra'is Re'iyah, the halacha is that it's going to exclude any type of cheresh, even if he just can't speak or just can't hear, so too over here. Says Gemara B'Hasmanol, how do we know over there by the mitzvah of Hakel that any cheresh, even not deaf-mute, even just deaf, is exempt from the mitzvah of Hakel, of coming together and hear what the king is saying when he reads from Sefer Devarim? Because the Chassid says over there in the Pasuk, why we have the mitzvah of Hakel, to gather all the Jewish people, is L'man Yishmu, L'man Yilmadu, that they hear and that they learn. Now, by the time we learn the Braisa, what do these two terms mean? When it says L'man Yishmu, so that they should hear, is Prat L'medaber, it excludes someone who could talk, but Ve'en Hashmei cannot hear, because then he cannot fulfill L'man Yishmu. And when it says L'man Yilmadu, that they should learn, is Prat L'shemea Ve'en Medaber, excludes even if he could hear, but if he cannot speak. Now, at this point, it sounds like that someone who can't speak can't learn Torah. And that's why you're excluding him from L'man Yilmadu, and therefore he's going to be Pater from Hakel, because it says L'man Yilmadu. Says the Gemara, Lemem is that to say, Dechila Mishtoi, that if a person cannot speak Lo Gomar, then he can't learn Torah? But Vahanu Tural Ilmid with these two mute individuals. To have a bishop of Vusa, the Rebbe that was in the neighborhood of Rebbe. And they were Bnei Brati, the B'yichim, and Good Gudah. They were the grandchildren, the sons of the daughter of B'yichim, and Good Gudah. Some say it was Bnei Achsid, the B'yichim. It was the nephews, the sons of the sister of B'yichim. Either way, the Chol Emes to have a Ayil Rebbe Lebe Medrash, whenever Rebbe would go into the Beis HaMedrash, have a Ayil Lebe Yosef come out, they would come in and they would sit in front of him. Umanai di Bereshei, and they would shake their heads. Umanachshin Sivasei, and they would mumble with their lips. But they couldn't speak. Now, Uboyu Rebbe Rachme Alai, Rebbe beseeched mercy and davened for these two individuals. V'itzu, and they were healed. And they were able to speak. V'ishtakech, they were found to have a gemiti that they were learned in Hilchasa, in Halachas, V'sifra, V'sifri, and the rabbinic expositions on all of Chumash, V'kula Shas, and they knew all of Shas. So you see that even if someone's mute, he could learn. So how are you excluding from L'man Yilmadu someone who's mute? So Mazuchi says, yeah, because Karibe, because you should pronounce not L'man Yilmadu, but L'man Yilamedu, so that they could, the reason why they're coming to your Hakel, so that they could teach others. And someone who's mute cannot teach others because he cannot speak. Now, Rav Asham, he says, Vadi l'man yilamedu. For sure, the Pasuk is saying from the words so that they should teach. In other words, essentially what he's saying is, forget about the difficulty that you're asking, is that really true? That if someone who's mute can't learn, what do you do with the two mute individuals? That says, without that question, you wouldn't be able to explain the drasha of the Tana, who's excluding from Laman Yilmadu, someone that could hear but can't speak. It has to be, without that question, that Laman Yilamedu. Why? Because he explains, says Rav Ashi. If you would think to say that Laman Yilmadu, what the words in the Pasuk are, so that they should learn, and you would say that, yeah, that you're excluding someone who can't speak, can't learn. Let's say you would hold and you wouldn't have this story with those two mutes that we see. Oh, you see, he could learn. But obviously the Tana holds that v'kiva and delay mishtoi, you're saying, as without that proof from that story of the two mute people, since he can't speak, lo gamar, that he can't learn even for himself. So the thing is, but v'kiva and delay shama, so if a person can't hear, so we definitely could testify that lo gamar, that he can't learn, because he can't even hear. Now, since it's already telling us that laman yishmu, that the purpose of hakel is that you should hear, we're excluding someone who could speak but cannot hear, and we testify that the reason is because he can't learn, because he's not going to understand everything you're saying in front of him. So then the question is, so why do you have to then say laman yilmadu? From laman yilmadu, you're excluding if he could hear but can't speak. But of course, since you're telling me that the one who can't speak can't learn, so haim laman yishmu nafka, that you already know to exclude from that he should come to hear. Because the whole purpose of hearing is so that he should not learn. But you also say if someone can't speak, he can't learn either. So why do I need a special pasuk to exclude that? Alavad, they rather obviously that this Tana holds that someone who cannot speak could learn. And you wouldn't therefore exclude him from laman yishmu, because someone who could hear but not speak could learn. Therefore, obviously, what we're coming to exclude further is from laman yilamedehu, so that not only should he learn, but should be able to teach others. And therefore, that's how you know definitively that the drush is from laman yilamedehu and not laman yilmadu, because actually someone who is mute actually could learn, and we're excluding someone who cannot teach. Therefore, he's not going to have the chiv of hakel. But one thing is that we see is that how do we know, to explain the halacha of Mishnah from the previous daf, that from ri'iyah you're going to be exempt, even if you just can't speak or just can't hear. Why is it different than simcha, which, like an old mitzvah, is only if he's deaf and mute? His reason is because we learn out re'i re'iya from hakel, which just like by hakel, you're excluding from laman yishmu if he can't hear, and from laman yilmadu / yilamedu if he can't speak. So you see, hakel is excluding if you have either one of these flaws, and therefore that's the same thing for the mitzvah of re'iya. If you have either one of them, being deaf or mute, would exclude him from the chiv of re'iya. Now, based on that Gezeirah Shavah that we're comparing the mitzvah of Re'iyah on Shalosh Ragam to that of Hakel, which happens once every 7 years, Amar Reb Tanchum, he says, Chedesh Ba'oznei Achas, if someone is deaf in one of his ears, Patim Re'iyah, he's going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Why? Because Shnemet says in the Pasuk in Devarim by Hakel, which we're comparing the two mitzvahs, it says, Ba'oznehem, in their ears, in the plural, which means he has to be able to hear with both of his ears. It says, Gemar Ba'hai Ba'oznei Mi'boyeli, but that Pasuk of Ba'oznei you need for something else, to teach. The plural is not in each person's two ears. It's buzz named the Kuli Yisrael. It's that it should go into the ears of all the Jewish people, which that's the plural. Who said you have to have both ears? Says Gemara, no, ahu, that, mineged kol Yisrael nafka. I know the plural of the Jewish people, not with the words as name, because that's going each individual's two ears. I know from the pasuk it says, mineged kol Yisrael, you should say it in the direction of all the Jewish people. Says Gemara, no, mineged kol Yisrael, if only you had that pasuk that it should be in regards to every Jewish person, havmina, I would have said, even though they can't hear. Like as Taisa says, because they're very far away. The Bataryah has to write in their ears that they should hear. But not that you have to be able to hear with two ears. Maybe if someone's deaf in one ear, but he could hear in the other, maybe that he would be chayiv. So how do you know to exclude if he can hear with only one ear? It says, that you learn from that they should hear. So I know that the plural of the Jewish people have to hear. What do we know from Baz Nehem is that each individual has to be able to hear with two ears, and that's how we know for the Loch of Re'iyah also, if he's deaf in one ear, does not have the Chiyav of Re'iyah. Related discussion, again, from Abir Reb Tanchem, he says, we spoke about vision, we spoke about hearing, and now regarding that of motion. Chigur Barag Le'achas. If someone is lame in one foot, he's also Pat Meriah, he's also going to be exempt from appearing by the Azar. Why? Kishnemet says in the Pasuk in Shema Yisrael, talking about Shalosh Regalim, it says the word Regalim, which the word Regal means foot. Regalim means feet, which means say someone has 2 feet to walk is going to be obligated. Says Gemara, but Vahar Regalim Ibayileh, but that Regalim you need for a lesser Chiddush, not something that's just lame, but he has his 2 feet. You have to use it to prat labali kavin. You have to use it to exclude someone that actually his foot was cut off, was amputated. And they put like a small block at the end of his thigh, and they put in like these rags, and they lean the end of their thigh on that block. He doesn't have a foot at all. So that's what you exclude from regalim, but not if he has an actual regal, but he's lame and he can't walk. Who said that's going to be excluded from the chiva of alila regal? Says Gemara, no. Hahu mipa'am nafka. The exclusion of balikavan you know from a different pasuk, which also when it talks about 3 times a year that all your males should be appear in front of the master of Hashem, it says sholish pa'amim. So one place says sholish regalim. Interestingly, that when they both mean times, but they also mean besides that they mean actually feet. The time like Linda Brysa. Pa'amim, when it says sholish pa'amim, ain pa'am el raglaim. It actually means feet. Meaning it has to be someone who has feet. Like it says a pasuk in Yeshaya, tirmesena rogel, you're trampled with your leg, ragli ani, the feet of a pauper, pa'ame dalim, the souls of the poor. So to Vamil, like it says a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, it says, mayofu pa'mayach, how beautiful are your souls, your feet, pa'na olim, in shoes, obviously, but it's applicable by people who have shoes to say pa'amim. And by Re'iya it says, Sholish Pa'am Bashanir Chazachurcha. So it's from there that we exclude someone that doesn't have a foot. That's what Bali Kavanah are excluded from. But when it says Regalim, that excludes something else. It has to be someone that could go on 2 feet. But if he's lame on 1 foot, he's going to be excluded from the Chiyav of Re'iya. And this is what the Pasuk says, that how beautiful are your soles and your shoes, Bas Nadiv, the daughter of the noble one. Now, parenthetically, once we brought in that Pasuk, so Darash Rava expounds, actually this Pasuk has greater significance. It's not just a source to show that pa'amim are the feet. It actually is related to the halacha that we're discussing of alila regal. Because Darash Rabbi says, "My what does it mean the pasuk in Shir Hashir, Mayafu pa'mayach, how beautiful are your souls, ben almin shuz bas nadiv, the daughter of the noble one, or the one who donated himself?" It means, "Kamanoin raglim shel Yisrael, how beautiful are the feet of the Jewish people, which are pamayach, like we said, b'shosh oilin regal, which is from bana olim, like the word of oila is in there, when they go up for the regal, bas nadiv, what does it mean, the daughter of the nadiv? It means, bitu shel Avram Avinu, we're like, so to speak, the daughter of Avram Avinu, shenikru nadiv, that he's called the nadiv. Why? Because he donated his heart to like his emotional part, which is the part of the person that maybe has ego and refuses, maybe subconsciously, to recognize. He donated his heart to recognize his creator. Shemek says, Apostle can tell him, Nidive Amim, those from the nations who are donating themselves, which actually refers to the Gerim, to the converts, that from amongst the nations, they donate to receive upon themselves a creator, a level of the yoke of mitzvahs to join the Jewish people. So they're Nesafi, they gather Amalek Avram, to the people of the God of Avram. Now the question is, like Avram, what do you mean, the God of Avram? Don't we always call it Avram, why are we only mentioning that it's the people of the God of Avram? Rather, Avram, the reason we're calling it regarding the Gerim, that it's the people that have the God of Avram, is Shal Yitzchil Legerim, because he was the first of the converts. Shtai says that the mitzvah of Mila was more on him than all those who came before him, and that's the mitzvah of what a Ger takes upon himself. And therefore, that's what's referring to the Gerim. Therefore, we mentioned that of Elikei Avram, because that's Nedivei Am, that's someone who's Megar, and Avram Avinu was, so to speak, the first Ger to recognize God and to enter into that covenant. So therefore, that's, again, related that we said it's regarding the Oil Regel, how Hashem finds that favor of the Jewish people. Now, because we mentioned the teaching from Reb Tancham, so the Gemara brings other teachings from Agadi teaching from Reb Tancham. So it says the Gemara Omer of Kana, the Dodosh Rav Nosim Avinyumi Mishum Reb Tancham, Nimer Reb Tancham. My dear, there wasn't a pasuk in Bereishis when it says that they took Yosef and they threw him into the pit, and it says Vahaboy Reik, and the pit was empty. Aimboy Mam, there was no water over there. Now, the question is, Mimashash Menema, from the, I could understand from the fact that it says Vahaboy Reik, that the pit is empty. Any day, Shem Mam, don't I know that there's no water? It's empty. Obviously, there's no water. No, Ella rather, it's telling you it's empty from what? My main boy, it was empty from water. But snakes and scorpions, they were over there. And that is because it's telling you it's only empty from water. But other harmful elements, like the snakes and scorpions, actually were there. Now going back to the lacha of hakel that we mentioned, regarding that of the regal, so turn around and learn the braisa. Meister Reb Yechonon ben Beroika and Reb Elazar Chisma, shaholchu lahakel p'nei Reb Yeshua b'Pekin, that they went to accept and receive the countenance of Reb Yeshua in Pekin, which it was a yomtiv. which everyone has obligation to honor their teacher by receiving them their presence, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah of Tezayin Mabez, from the Isha Shunamis, that the husband said, why are you going to Elisha today? It's not Rosh Chodesh, it's not Shabbos, meaning by important auspicious days like a Yom Tov, you have an obligation to go to your teacher, why are you going today? But there was something that was going on, therefore she was going to him. But they went to greet him on the Yom Tov. So Amalemi said to them, what novelty of learning was mentioned in the study hall today? So Amalemi said to him, Tamitcha Anu, we're your students. We can't speak in front of you. You're asking us. We're not going to talk in your presence. Umimecha Anu Shaisen, it's from your water that we drink. We want to hear what you have to say. Amalemi said to them, no, Avabikin, even so. It's not possible that in a Beis HaMedrash there's no novel teaching, meaning even you're learning the same things. It must be something that was a new idea. Shabbos HaMihai, so he asked him, whose week was it? Because at one point in history, Leil, although he was taken off from being the Nasi, he ultimately came back, but Rabbi Elazar was already the Nasi, so they switched off 1 week, another one had 3 weeks. So whose week was it? So they told him, Shabbos Rabbi Elazar, it was his week, that one out of the four, that was his week, and he was given the drasha. What was the Gadik teaching today? So they said to him, Parashas Hakol was running the Parashah of Hakol that we were just discussing before, that we're bringing in, of when once every 7 years the king reads Mishnah Torah. So what was the drasha? What was the exposition of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? So they told him, he said like this. It says in the pasuk, the Varm Hakolus gather the people. Ha'anoshim the men, va'anoshim the women, va'taf and the young children. Now, if the men are coming to learn, Noshim boys lishmoy, the women are coming to listen, which are tzitzis from the Yerushalmi. It's obviously not like Benazai that says the person has obligation to teach his daughter Torah. No, they don't learn like the men, but they're coming to hear. But taflam aboyim, why are the young children coming for? Says the Gemara. This is what Reb Elazar ben Azariah had darshan. Can you lead in schar lemiviehen, to give reward for those who are bringing them? You're right, it's not for the children, for the reward that they're bringing their children. Which Taisa says, this is where people rely on that they bring little children to the shul, where they're not davening, but bringing reward for those who bring them to a holy place is why the children come. So Amalem, so Yeshua told them, says, Margalas Taiva Hisa Biyatchem, there was a precious jewel that you had. You wanted to lose it from me. Like, how could you not have told me that this is what the drasha was? And they told him another thing he darshed in the pasuk in the Devarim. It says, "Es Hashem hamarta hayem," that Hashem, you praised today, like we find the pasuk in Tehillim, "Yisamru kol poyali oven," that all the sinners, they're successful and they praise themselves. So that's Hashem, you praised today. Hashem hamir hayem, and Hashem praised you today. What does that mean? So only my Kodesh Baruch Hu, so because Hashem says to the Jewish people, "Atem asisuni chativa achas ba'olam," you made me into one praise, into a distinct praise in the world, to say, there's no one like you, and therefore we chose you as God. Okay, I'm going to make you also one praise in the world. Well, how so? So the Gemara explains, you made me into one praise in the world. It's like the famous pasuk in the Devarim, Shema Yisrael, hear O Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Zagar, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. There's nothing else but Him. That's Chativa Achas. Says Hashem, I'm going to make you also one praise in the world. Like I said, the pasuk in Devar Yomim Aleph has to continue to Amid Beis. Mi kam Chisrael, and who is like your people, the Jewish people? Goy echad ba'aretz, one nation on the land. There's a singularity to Hashem, and there's a singularity to the Jewish people, like Tezer brings in the Medrash, that there's three entities that testify each other: Yisrael, Shabbos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that testify regarding Shabbos that it's a day of rest. You have the Klal Yisrael and Shabbos that testify regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He's one. You have HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shabbos that testify regarding the Jewish people that they're the unique people amongst the nations. And that says, Taisa, that's what we rely on to say in the Tefillah of Mincha and Shabbos, Ata Echad, you're one, even though seemingly it has nothing to do with the idea of Shabbos as we do by Ma'ariv and Shachris, but it is, because Ata Echad is the theme of Shabbos, Klal Yisrael, and Hashem, that there's a singularity from these three that testify regarding each other, and therefore we say that Shabbos by Mincha. Now, Va'af, and also who, Loz ben Azariah, continuing regarding what he said by the drasha, pasach v'darash, he opened up and he expounded a pasach in Kehelas. Divrei Chacham, the words of the sages, are kadarvinas, are like goats, which is like a type of like a pointy stick. Uvemasmeiros netuim, and with planted nails, balei asufas are the men of the assembly. Nit numeroi echad, they're given from one shepherd. So he explained, lama nimshul divrei Torah ledarvin, why are the words of the Torah, which are divrei Chachamim, compared to goats, which are there to provoke and to motivate the animal. To tell you, ma davrin, just like this goad, is that's meant to goad someone on. Is mechavenes aparlet lameha, it guides the cow to its row of its furrow, which is lohitzichaim loyelim, is to bring life to the world by having them do the work of the ground. After retire, so to the words of Torah, mechavenes lamdein, it directs those who learn it from the path of death to the path of life. Now, but if you only compared the words of the Torah to that of a goad, so ima darvin zematal, so then you would say just like this goat is movable, after every term metal, and also the words of Torah are movable, meaning they're not maintained in their place. No, tamalim, that's what the pasuk continues to teach, masmeiros, like nails, which they stay where they are. Now, but ima masmezeh, but if you compared it to nails, which when you knock it into a wall, so actually it's chasav alayeser. It actually creates a lacking in the wall, and it does not make an increase, because it's making a hole in the wall. So maybe you would say, after Torah chasim alayeser, maybe the words of Torah also create lacking in the person and not increase. Tamalim, that's what pasuk teaches, it says, netuim. So it's like nails that are planted to teach you manatiyazu paravadava, just like a planting. When you plant it, it actually proliferates, it increases, and it becomes fruitful and multiplies. After retire, so to the words of Torah, paravadava, and they're also fruitful and they multiply. Not chasa, but rather yeser. And the pasuk continues, that bali asufas, the people of the assemblies, that's referring to Eilat Tamid HaChacham. Those are the Talmudic scholars. Sheyeshvin asufas asufas, that they sit in assemblies, they gather together in chaburis, and they toil entire. Now, what's interesting is, halolam etamid v'halolam etarim. These are saying that it's tamid, and these same the others are saying it's tar. Halolam oisim v'halolam etarim. These are saying that it's asa, these are saying that it's mutter. Halolam poislin. And you have these rabbis that are saying that it's invalid, which would be applicable, let's say, by the witnesses are invalid or this kain is invalid. And they're saying it's valid. So maybe people are going to say, with this a classic argument of people philosophically saying, how could there be truth? You know, you have them saying us and them saying mutter about the same thing. A person is going to say, hey, how am I going to learn Torah now? Everything's a machlekes. There's no truth. No, that's what the pasuk is coming to teach you. Kulam, all them nitnu meroya echad. They were given from one shepherd, from one source. Kael echad noisnan. One God gave all of this because, as Rashi explained so beautifully, there's no one that's in the Beis HaMedrash that's disputing, that's bringing a proof from the God of, from the Torah, from the laws of like some other God. It's all from the Torah of our God. Yes, Hashem left room for interpretation, but it's all from our Torah. Parnas echad amarin. One provider said them. Meaning, no one's bringing proof from a different prophet that's coming to disagree with the prophecy of Moshe Beinu. Mipi Adin Kolam Eisen Baruch Hu, it's from the mouth of the master of all actions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Selig says, Pasuk in Shemais. Pasuk, Pashas Yisrei. V'idaber Likim is called Vama Eilu. That God spoke all these words. Everything, yes. The Eilu Ve'Eilu Dir Likim Chayim. It's possible that those who are saying Kasher and those who are saying that it's Pasul and those saying Asa Mutter, yes, they're all coming from the same Torah. And therefore, so if all of them are doing it for the sake of heaven, afata ase aznecha, so then you should also make your ears to listen and to learn all of their opinions. Now, when you understand to differentiate which one is the appropriate opinion, and you establish the halacha like him, ka'afracheses, like a mill hopper, which is the funnel that you put on top of the mill, which sorts it out, and you acquire for yourself a discerning heart. To hear the words of those who are saying it's tamim, to hear the words that are saying it's tar. To hear that, yes, some are saying ice, some are saying mutter. Some are saying that, some impossible, some are saying kosher. But you have to be able to discern and understand it's all coming from the same halacha. And yes, there's ayin palma Torah, and there's many different ways of looking and interpreting, but that doesn't show the dishonesty, but rather it shows the plurality of the truth of the singularity of the Torah. Oh, Balash Nazel Malhem, in this word, Rabbi Shua said to them, Ein Dar Yasam, there's no orphan generation, Shabbalazim and Azariah, Shabbatecha, that Rabbalazim and Azariah dwells amongst them. That was the story. Now the Gemara wonders, and we brought in because there was a teaching regarding Hakka that we were mentioning, but says the Gemara, V'lemer Lebehedya, why didn't they tell him straight up right away when he asked them, oh, what did you guys learn about today? Why did they have to wait first for them to say, oh, we're your students, and we it's not really appropriate for us to talk, and then he said, he pushed them, no, tell me, it has to be some chiddush. So Zimah, I'll tell you what, the reason why they don't want to tell them straight up is because of a story that happened. Tanya Leon of Brisa, Mice of Rebusim in Damascus. There was a story of Rebusim in Damascus. Shaholach Lahakbul Pnei Reb Elazar Baloid. He went to receive, again, this was a similar type of an event, that he went to receive this his Rebbe on a Yom Tov. Now, Amaloi, he said to him, same question. And therefore they learn from this story, it's like, okay, this is ominous. Ma chedesh hoi Beresim Medrash? He asked him, what was the new teaching that was said today in the Beresim Medrash? So here they did answer. And because of that, what ended up happening, which was a poor result, they figured that they're not going to answer until they have to. So Amaloi, so Beresim in Damascus responded to him. But yes, he says, Nimnu v'gamru. They counted and they concluded and they instituted a Masakin in the Beresim Medrash that Amunu Mayev, which are the Jewish people who dwell in the Transjordan, from the area that the Jewish people conquered from Sichon and Og, which are the lands in Ammon and Moab, Ma'asrin, today's times, they take off a tithe of Meiser Ani, the poor man's tithe, which Taisa points out, really, it would have been appropriate to have Meiser Shein, according to the calculations, how it normally goes, but it should be the poor man's tithe, B'Shvi'is, in the seventh year, in the Shemitah year, which, in those lands, they did plant in Shemitah, because the Gemara is going to tell us later on, those who came up from the diaspora, they didn't re-sanctify those areas to have Kedushas Aretz, so it didn't have the prohibitions of the laws of Shemitah. But the rabbis instituted so that there should be food for the paupers, that Meiser Ani is going to be what they're going to give in those lands in the Shemitah. That's what he says, that they were Masakin in the Beis Medrash. Amalai, Sir Belez said to him, Yaisi, Pasha Yedecha, stretch out your hands, V'kabla Enecha, and receive your eyes, meaning that you're going to be blind. Because it was difficult to Rabbi Eliezer that he was giving a crown for those who gave this, made this drasha and this takana. What do you mean? This was already from the days of Anshe Knesset Gedel, the men of the Great Assembly, who already made this takana. So Pasha Yadov, so he stretched out his hands, this is what the Rebbe said, but he received his eyesight, meaning that he became blind. Bach Rabbi Eliezer of Amar, Rabbi Eliezer cried and he said, the Pasuk can tell him, Sayyid Hashem L'Reyev, the secret of Hashem is for those who fear him, and his covenant is to let them know this, meaning, he's trying to say, yes, They got the secret, because Hashem lets people get to the truth. But Amalei said to him, Lech Amalehem, go tell them, don't be concerned, you know, don't be afraid and be cautious that this that you made a count and you instituted, that as if maybe you made a mistake, because no, you actually got to the halacha, because Kach Mekablanim Rebbi Yechim Mezakai says, this was my tradition, Rebbi Yechim Mezakai, Shashamim Merabbi, that he heard from his teacher, Rebbi Merabbi and his teacher from his teacher, that this is Hilchas El Meshav Sinai, this is Allah, we had an oral law from Meshav Sinai, that Amun Amaya from those lands, Ma'asrin Meister on Beshviz, that we take off the poor man's tithe in the Shemitir. Now, Matam, why did they make this? Because Harba Krochim Kavshar El Mitzrayim, there's many cities that were conquered the first time the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael when they came up from Egypt. But the second time they came back to Eretz Yisrael, in times of Ezra, when they came out of Bavel, that was those lands, those cities were not reconquered. And Mimnesha Kedusha Rishayin, because the first sanctity that Yeshua ben Nun sanctified was Kitchel HaShait, it was only a temporary sanctity, and it was not an eternal sanctity. In contrast, the second sanctity, when they came in the days of Ezra, that sanctity was eternal. As the Brisa teaches in Yevamos Daf Pei Beis Amud Beis, that there was first inheritance and the second inheritance, but there's no third inheritance, because what was done by Ezra was forever. So therefore, in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, you cannot plant in the Shemitir. But Amun Moav, the Hinichum, so they left those lands, because they didn't conquer it, they left them from sanctifying them. Why? So that the poor could rely on those lands in the Shemitir, where there's no other produce because no one's doing any work in the Shemitah year. But that they should have Leket and Shikha and Pei and Meiser Ani, so therefore they instituted that they should take off the poor man's tithe, that the 10% goes to the poor. And that was with the consent of the sages, because they could place on it whichever Meiser they want to, because it's not even biblically required, but the rabbinic law made it that it should be Meiser Ani in the Shemitah year. So he says, don't worry, that as if what your takana was maybe wrong. No, because this is actually you mechaven to the Lachem Meshav Sinai. Now, Tanu Lina Braisa La'achash Nesiyash V'Daitai, after that Rabbi Eliezer calmed down from what he was so taken by, how is he praising them when this is Lachem Meshav Sinai, Ami said, Yirotzen Sheyichzer Eina Yeslim Kamen, let it be the will that the eyes of Yesi go back to their place, and they went back and was able to see again. But again, that's why they originally didn't want to respond, because of what response had a similar story in the past. Now, continuing regarding the halacha of the Mishnah, which you mentioned, we spoke about the first one that's exempt, that of the Cheresh. Now we move on to the second one, which we said is a Shaita. A Shaita is also exempt from the mitzvah of Elilah Regal. So, talking about one of the Braisa, Ezehu Shaita, who is considered a mentally deranged individual that we mentioned throughout Shas, that is exempt from the mitzvahs and from any punishments, and any acquisition he makes is not valid, any sale he makes is not valid, who is considered mentally deranged? Says the Braisa, Hayitzi Chidi Balayla, if he goes out alone at nighttime, Valama Besa Kvaris, and he sleeps in the cemetery at nighttime, and Vamakareas Kesusa, and if he tears his garments. So he has actually Machlekes. Itma we learned, Rav Hunama, he says, Achiyu Kulam Bevasachas. Some take out the words Bevasachas, but so until you have all of them, or all of them at the same time. Rav says, no, fill Be'achas, man. Even if you have any one of these three, it's already considered as a Shaita. So the Gemara says, well, Hechadama, what's the case talking about? And that is, Ida Avid Lehu Derech Shtos, if he does it in a mentally deranged way, then fill Be'achadinami. Even one of the three, it's already evident that he's a Shaita. So why do you need all three? And he delay Avid Lehu Derech Shtos, and if he did these three things, but not in a deranged way, so fill Be'achadinami. Then even if you have all three, Shtos would not make you into a Shaita. So the Gemara says, no, the truth is that he did them in a mentally deranged way. And even so, that opinion holds that we would not presume him to be a shaita by doing one of those three. Because, as the Gemara explains, each one of them you could explain, even though it's deranged. Falun b'veis ha'kfaris, because the one who's sleeping at nighttime in the cemetery, im you could say that he's not really a shaita. He's doing it k'deishu tishu l'abruach tumah hu dekavet. He's doing it so that a spirit of impurity should take effect on him, which is the spirit of demons, so that they should help him practice sorcery. So although it looks deranged, but he might actually have a reason for that. Vayitzi yichid b'layla, and this is going at nighttime alone, which is deranged. But im you could say gandrifas achte, that actually the gandrifus, which is either an illness that takes a hold of the person because of worry, because of panic, or it means that his body gets heated up and therefore he has to get out and get some fresh air. So even though it's at nighttime alone, he's got to get out. So but it doesn't mean he's mentally deranged. And the third one, Makarias Kasusa, the fact that he's tearing his garments, so you could say that he's a person that has thoughts and therefore he's just tearing his garment, but not necessarily doesn't mean he's mentally deranged. Like, what are you tearing the garments for? It could be he's suffering from something else. But that opinion holds. Once you do all three of them, as we continue to have Dalman of, then it's like Kamisha Nagach Shur Chamar Vagamol. Then it's like an ox that gores an ox, a donkey, and a camel, which I mentioned Baba Kamen of Alam and Diamond Aleph, that then the halacha becomes Venasa Mood Lakol. That then it becomes a mood, this ox, for goring all these types of animals. In other words, and we don't say, no, a mood, which is that we presume that this is going to happen, is only when you did three times in each individual species. No. We say since he became a mu'ud, we're presuming that he's has that status from goring three times, even though it's three different times, and we're not particular about another type, that it's a different type. Say also that when you do these three things, although each one could be explained individually, but you're doing three things, even though they're three different things, obviously it's because of idiocy and because of mental derangement, and therefore that's why that mandam holds. If you're doing three, that already establishes as a pattern. However, Amar Papa, he says, Ishmile le Rav Huna. Had Rav Huna heard, who he's the one that holds that it's not each one individually is not enough to make you shayta, it has to be all three. Had he heard other Tanya, this is what the Braisa says, is there was shayta. The Braisa says, what makes a person a shayta? Is Zehama Abed Komash Naisim Loi, is someone who loses, he throws away whatever you give him, which sounds like even in just one area, which is throwing away something that's given, we presume him to be a shayta. Have a hold of it, he would have retracted. You would see from the Braisa that it's enough with one thing. Now, it boiled with the following question. Okay, maybe Rav Papa is correct, but ki ava hadabay, this that he's saying Rav Huna would have retracted, is it mimer kadei kesusi hu ava hadabay? Is it only from tearing the garment that he would have retracted? Because the damel hod, that's very similar to if you give him something and he's throwing it away, it's like ruining the stuff that you have. That's the same as tearing the garments. Maybe he would have retracted from all of them. In other words, do we say that since tearing the garment is similar to the one about throwing away your stuff, that's the only one he would have retracted, and do we say the other ones that are mentioned together with Mekarei Kesusa he would also retract, or maybe only from the Mekarei Kesusa retract? So he's going to take us. Let it sound not clear when he's saying he would have retracted. It doesn't mean only that one, which is similar to the Ma'abid, what he's given, which is tearing the garment that you have stuff and you're just throwing it away and you're wasting it. But sleeping at nighttime in the cemetery, going out alone at nighttime, which is different. It's not clear if that means that would have been similar to that one, that even one alone would be enough, or those, not necessarily, maybe those individually would not be enough to make him into a shaita.